to the Most Accurate Podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Akins. I am joined by friend, co-worker, world traveler, it seems, Justin Edwards. I swear he's always somewhere, and I know you just got back from somewhere. Justin, how you doing?
Yeah.
Where did you?
I'm doing good.
Where were you?
I went down to Texas. A couple of friends were doing a small wedding down there. I actually got ordained, so I married my friends.
No way. I didn't know that.
Hill country. It's like it was maybe like an hour northwest of San Antonio, I think. I wasn't driving, so I wasn't paying attention. But it was a lot of fun. I didn't even get sunburned, you know. It wasn't
I went to Texas and
didn't get too red.
I'm good. I haven't been anywhere. I live vicariously through your single, no kid. Well, not single, but not married.
Unmarried, yeah.
Unmarried, no children lifestyle. I am here doing nothing. I will say something funny, though, before we start. So my son is in ninth grade in high school, and it's spirit week at his school because it's prom on Friday. And they do, I don't know if you remember spirit week in high school, right? It's like a different theme every day or whatever. But yeah, vaguely. But today I thought was really funny. I've never seen it before. The theme of the day is anything but a backpack. So kids bring whatever to carry their stuff. And it's hilarious. My son, of course, forgot. So he has his normal backpack, but he's been sending me pictures. The guy that sits next to him in first period had like a lawnmower, like one of those, like, it wasn't a mower. What? It was like a lawn fertilizer that has like a bucket. So that's where he put all his like books and stuff, you know? But someone brought like a mini trampoline, you know, there's some laundry baskets, like, because I told him, like, it's funny and cool, but you have to carry that around for the school day. Like, it's cute and all, but what a pain.
It's cute until second period. You're like, oh,
right. It's, yeah, I'm it's sick fine. Of right. It's fine after drop off. You get there, everyone laughs, and then it's like, okay, you got to carry that thing around all day.
Right.
But I'm excited to kind of see the more, you know, as he goes to each period, what he encounters, because I think that's actually a really funny theme, which has nothing to do with what we're doing.
I like it.
Yeah. So I guess we should talk some football here. We are on the eve of the 2024 NFL draft. If you are not living under a rock, I'm sure you're aware of that. There's a lot of chatter around this year's draft. It feels more than normal as far as kind of the question, like everything is kind of up in the air after pick one. But we, as a fantasy football podcast, are going to talk about the fantasy football aspect of the draft. We're going to go position by position, kind of talk about maybe where we'd like to see people, maybe not necessarily where they will go. Maybe they will go there. We don't know. But from a fantasy perspective, kind of where we'd like to see these guys go so that they can score some points on our rosters this season. So we're going to start out obvious with quarterback, because that's kind of always where everyone goes first. We're going to start with Caleb Williams. Zero surprise, zero shock, zero anticipation. He is going to the Bears at pick one. The thing I find interesting right now in underdog drafts, he is quarterback 12.
That is very high.
Yeah. I mean, he's going over Tua. He's going over Jared Goff. He's going over Justin Herbert. Like, I don't know. That's kind of my question to you. Do you feel that's too high?
I think that's absolutely too high. I think, and we'll touch on it more as we go through with some of the skill position players. I think they will end up insulating him with some good pass catchers. They've already started that. They went and got Keenan for next to nothing. They have an ascending offensive line. It's not like one of the best in the league, but it's not one of the worst, which it had been for so many years. Caleb's a playmaker, but I don't think he's going to go out there in his rookie year and rush for 700, 800 yards. I think QB12 is a little aggressive. I know that people are excited, and it would be pretty crazy if it goes even higher than that after he's officially at the next level. He's probably more of like a teen guy. Like, I don't think we're going to be aiming for him in typical redraft leagues.
Yeah, no, but I do feel that people have kind of that recency bias from CJ Stroud, and they're like, all right, I'm not missing out this year.
Right.
I think that's why I think that's why he's being drafted where he is. But I think there's a lot of established quarterbacks that should be drafted above him. Namely some of the ones I named: Tua, Goff, Herbert, even Anthony Richardson. I don't know. I just find that I'm excited to see him. It's always nice to have fresh blood in the quarterback realm from a fantasy perspective as well, because all of us are kind of, I guess, a little fatigued at some of these guys. And it's like, oh, am I really going to draft Aaron Rodgers again, even though, you know, here we are. But, so I think Caleb Williams, like, I agree with you. I think as a fantasy QB1 at spot 12, it's just a little high. He's in QB territory for me until he proves us otherwise. All right, let's move on. We've got the next little set. We have Drake May, Jaden Daniels, both of them kind of projected to go at 2 and 3 to the Commanders. God, I almost said Redskins. To the Commanders and Patriots, in not really sure which one, right? There's rumors of both.
Right.
Could be neither, but chances are they're both going to go at 2 and 3 unless there's a trade. Right now, Jaden Daniels is QB 18 and Drake May is QB 22, kind of in that range that we were talking about where we think Williams should be. How do you feel about either one? Do you have a preference over one? And do you feel like their ADP is where it should be?
I think, at least like as talking about like landing spots, I think what we're trying to do here with really this whole second tier behind Caleb Williams is avoid the Patriots is probably what we're hoping for. I think where Jaden Daniels wins and where he'll give us fantasy points kind of insulates him a little more. So if all things were the same, I think I'd rather Jaden Daniels be the Patriots quarterback, because if, say, Drake May or even J.J. McCarthy, depending on how you think about those guys, I think if they go to the Patriots, they're really going to maybe not struggle to the point where they're like a terrible quarterback, but they're probably going to struggle to the point where they're a terrible fantasy quarterback. We look at the Patriots pass catching group and they're led by Pop Douglas, I guess, depending on what you think of him. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure Juju's still there, but he's been having nagging injuries for years now. Like Hunter Henry's there. Ramondre Stevenson's there. Not great. So yeah. I think Jaden Daniels should not only be above this second tier of guys for fantasy prospects. I think he's probably closer, if not more interesting in fantasy than Caleb Williams, because of what we think he'll do with his legs if he can stay upright. He does take some pretty nasty hits, so it's going to be weird to see what happens with NFL linebackers when he's taking these Wile E. Coyote sacks.
Right. So as far as Drake May goes, where, mm-hmm. I mean, would you rather see him in Washington?
Yeah, I'd rather see him in Washington. He's more of a classic thrower of the ball. Right. So I think he could,
they have legitimate weapons. I mean, we can't,
you know, right. I think he could feed Terry and Dotson and they might add someone later in the draft too. So yeah, I would rather see Drake May in Washington for sure. I'd rather see Jaden Daniels in Washington as well, but I don't think Daniels going to New England, if he falls there, would be a complete death knell to his fantasy aspirations.
And I would assume that we're in agreeance here that neither of these two, and even J.J. McCarthy, who we'll talk about in a second, but are in the redraft conversation, right? I think Caleb Williams might be the only one, and he's more of like, okay, as a backup, as kind of at the end of the draft in case he's a season, you know, in case he pulls out a C.J. Stroud season. But both May and go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to repeat really what I was saying, that I think both of them are kind of best ball QB2s.
Yeah. I think three. Daniels will be, I think he'll get drafted, and then, you know, if he has a couple bad games, he probably gets dropped. I have a feeling that our QB streaming articles will have a lot of Jaden Daniels throughout the season, just because if he's out there running for 70 or 80 yards a game, that we're going to want that on our roster every once in a while, at least.
Yeah, no, totally. So I guess that brings us to J.J. McCarthy. So what's interesting about him, right? You've got teams that are rumored to be moving up. You've got the Giants and the Vikings possibly moving up. He is right now QB 29, an underdog. I mean, if he lands at either one of those places, the Giants or the Vikings, does that move the needle for you as far as moving up to possible QB 2 territory? Like I said, right now he's at QB 29, so he is in QB 3 for best ball. Do you feel, I mean, because those are both good landing spots as far as the quarterback goes. I mean, the Vikings are kind of gross. I mean, I'm sorry, the Giants are kind of gross as far as the weaponry and what they have and what we've seen from them, you know, last year, I guess. But
I think the Vikings are way better for his year one redraft best ball fantasy status. I think it'll be hard if you start underdog drafts with, you know, a first round pick with Justin Jefferson and how long can you avoid taking JJ McCarthy?
Yeah.
You know, that JJ to JJ connection could be really nice. With the Giants, much worse pass catching group. And also, you know, what if they're not officially done with Daniel Jones and McCarthy only plays four games? That would be
right.
It'd be a waste of a pick at that point. So I think the Vikings are where we'd like to see him. And if he goes to the Giants, then he's kind of just like a dynasty commodity. So he probably won't even matter.
Yeah. I mean, his ADP, like I said, he's QB 29. Right now his actual ADP is 16-12. So he's right at the end of round 16, which isn't awful. Like you said, even if he's on the Giants, I mean, that's not a horrible dart throw at the end of the 16th round. I would think if he goes to the Vikings, he probably will get a little spike and move up in ADP, maybe up to the 15th or even 14th round. But I don't know if the Giants will necessarily do anything to his draft value. It'll be interesting to see there. We have two more quarterbacks that I just kind of threw in at the last, you know, whatever. They're kind of, I mean, they are relevant in the NFL world in fantasy. We've got Michael Penix. Bo Nix.
Yeah.
They are QBs 32 and 33, respectively there. So there's been a lot of chatter as of yesterday about Bo Nix with the Broncos, even though they just acquired Zachety Zach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think either these two guys, you know, I don't think either of them are going to be fantasy relevant in 2024.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if these two guys end up going to the Broncos and the Raiders, whichever lands on the Raiders will be a better fantasy asset, I think. I think Denver is still, I mean, it feels like this has been like three straight off seasons, but they're still talking about possibly trading away Cortland Sutton. And who knows if
he's holding out right now, technically.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Listen, so
if they do, it's like Greg Dulcich and Marvin Mims. Yeah, you're over there.
Idea? Don't knock Marvin Mims. I'm a fan. I love Marvin Mims.
Look, I like Mims too. I don't think he's a wide receiver one prototype.
I mean, as a resident of this fair city of Denver, I'm over all of it. Like this, you know, rebuild in air quotes. You guys can't see me, but it's just
he's doing bunny ears.
Yeah, it's taken way too long. It's been you know, ever since Peyton Manning rode off into the sunset. After his Super Bowl win, it's just been ugly around here, and it's hard. I mean, this town is a huge Bronco town. You know, I will say it hasn't been so bad that the Nuggets and Avalanche have won in the last couple of years. So it's right, not like we're devoid of sports championships, but it's tough watching the Broncos go through this. And then, I mean, the uniform reveal the other day was a big womp. I mean, they're not horrible. Like, people were outraged. Yeah. I mean, they're not like disgusting. They're just, like, that's what you came, you know, they're mediocre. Yeah. Like, they're fine. They're just,
The Jets came out with their new uniforms and it's literally just the same damn uniform that they've had for the last decade.
I know that they like advertise this big reveal and all like all this promo. And then it comes out and you're like, they look the same.
It's the same uniform.
I mean, they added like a little mountainy type thing on the side of the Bronco. It is what it is. But yeah, the Zach Wilson thing was definitely interesting to me. I did not see that one. I mean, I saw people talking about it before it happened, but I mean, good for him. Fresh start. Zach, he's better than a lot of NFL quarterbacks. Not a lot, but he's better than some NFL quarterbacks out there. All right, but let's get back to the task at hand. Let's move on to wide receiver.
Yeah,
which is kind of exciting. It's deep-ish this year. There's a lot of good names there that could kind of enter the fantasy landscape. First guy is Marvin Harrison Jr. There's for me, right? I mean, there's several spots he could land that would be nice. I will say right now he is pricey. He is an underdog. He is a wide receiver 9, pick 204. Wow. 204. I mean, that's without seeing an NFL snap, that is very pricey.
It is.
So I personally think the Chargers would be awesome. I know a lot of people talk about the Cardinals. I like the Chargers. They have 395 targets available. 63% of their target opportunities there are available. I think he would pair really well with Herbert as an X receiver. Good separator. Like that. We also have the Cardinals with not a lot of target competition either, other than Trey McBride. They have 217 targets. Do you see him anywhere else, or are these two are bust, and which one do you like better?
Yeah, I really think it's these two are bust, and it's almost kind of the same. I don't want to skip ahead too far, but
there's no rules here. You can skip.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. But with Harrison and Malik Nabers, like, I think either of those guys can be complete package wide receiver ones, line them up wherever the heck you want. And I think the Chargers and the Cardinals make the most sense. I have heard a little bit of rumblings of the Titans taking a receiver, and I think that would stink. Like, especially in year one, they just got Calvin Ridley. Yeah. If they take one of Harrison or Nabers or even Adunze, I think that would be kind of a bummer in fantasy land. Mm-hmm. I would definitely much rather see Harrison at the Chargers or the Cardinals. You could convince me either way. I think the Chargers, like, as you said, they're missing so much from last year because they got rid of Keenan and Mike Williams, where they let him walk. And there's really
don't forget Gerald Everett, our boy Everett.
Oh, and Everett's gone. Yeah. So it's just Donald Parham and 2023 bust Quentin Johnston
and Josh Palmer, I guess, right?
And Josh Palmer. Yeah. He's there.
But yes.
And you know, maybe it would be even better if he were in Arizona for either of these guys. Maybe it would be better if they're in Arizona because at least you have that, like, legitimately very good tight end there. So maybe that would open up a little bit more. In Arizona, they have, like, Michael Wilson. Like, they don't really have receivers that are going to take targets from these guys either. So I think you could convince me either way that for Harrison or Nabers, the Chargers or the Cardinals would be great for either one of them.
So you mentioned Nabers. So he is wide receiver 18. He's a little cheaper. Right now he's being drafted at the 302, which is still pricey for a rookie receiver.
It is.
I will throw out one name or one place, which is it's gross in theory, but the Giants, right? You've got with Nabers, you've got, they don't have an alpha receiver. They haven't for years. It's just an assortment of people getting hurt and coming back, and it's a carousel of whatever.
Right.
So, and I feel like with Nabers, the one thing with that is since it's kind of a gross landing spot, like, on paper, you're like, ew, his ADP might fall. So
yeah,
I don't think Marvin Harrison, I don't think his ADP, I don't think will fall regardless of where he lands. But Nabers, we might get a little discount if he goes to the Giants and people are like, ew, gross, and not draft him.
There's so much room for targets in New York, but I will say it's almost guaranteed to be a downgrade in quarterback. Because going for, I'd rather have Kyler or particularly Justin Herbert throwing the ball to either of these guys as opposed to Daniel Jones, or, like we talked, if they go and grab J.J. McCarthy or any of these guys, actually.
What about Tommy DeVito? We're going to leave him out?
Look. He had his run, okay?
He had a fantastic run out of
nowhere. Really did.
Okay. Let's move on to Rome Odunze. He is wide receiver 29. He is almost a round and a half cheaper than Nabers. He's at 409 right now. He has been rumored to go to the Bears as far as, you know, them grabbing Caleb, then turning around and grabbing him would be great. He could develop under Keenan. He could kind of learn. And I think also same deal. I think the Cardinals, you know, if they don't take either Harrison or Nabers, I think Odunze would be great there. Because he kind of, from what, you know, like, you, no secret here, I'm not like this film grinder or anything, but what I've read, he plays similarly to DeAndre Hopkins. So he might be a nice fit there in Arizona. Yeah. You have any thoughts on Rome?
I would like to see him go to Chicago, but I don't know if it's necessarily the best landing spot for, like, rookie fantasy points, like raw points. He's going to be dealing with Keenan and DJ Moore. I think he would fit well there. I think it would be a boost to Caleb Williams' floor. But obviously this is early. They haven't even selected him yet, but if he went to Chicago, maybe he's not in two wide receiver sets for a while, which would be a pain in the butt. I think there's a couple teams that could make a move that would also be interesting. Including, like, the Colts could use someone else. So if they didn't want to stick around, they're like in the they're at 15 right now. So I think it would be kind of interesting if they tried to move up and grab him, which I think would probably be better for immediate output. I know they have Michael Pittman, but they don't have anyone that's going to keep Adunze off the field in two wide receiver sets or anything. So maybe the Colts, the Bears do make the most sense.
Yeah.
Hoping he doesn't go anywhere in the middle of that range, though. It would stink if he went to the Jets. Yeah. I think he would be like the third wide receiver there. If he went to the Vikings, he would be the third wide receiver there. So I'd rather just go to Chicago and not hope, but maybe lean into the possibility that Keenan misses some time.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say hope that Keenan Allen gets injured.
You don't want to wish an injury or victory lap injury. You know, history does dictate certain things, so I'm with you there. It's funny that you mentioned the Colts, because I have him for our next guy here, Brian Thomas Jr.
Okay.
He is right now wide receiver 38. He is at spot 607 off of Underdog draft boards. I had two spots for him. One was the Colts. I said, you know, kind of an alternate to the underwhelming Alec Pierce, right? You've got Pittman, you've got Josh Downs, and a healthy Anthony Richardson. So I do like that spot. The other place I had for Brian Thomas is the Bills. I feel like the thing with Brian Thomas is that there has been recent reports of a him having to have surgery on his left shoulder. So if he could fall to pick 28 where the Bills are. So that was kind of a thing. Yeah. Obviously, the Bills need a playmaker there in that wide receiver room. they've lost Gabe Davis. They've lost Stephon Diggs. So if he does fall due to medical reasons, the Bills might be able to snag him at 28. So those are the two I had for Brian Thomas. Do you have any other landing spots or thoughts on him?
I also had the Bills. I think he would be a target hog right off the bat. Yeah, like you said, they lost Diggs. They lost Gabe Davis. They could really, I mean, they're not coming out of this draft without a wide receiver. Like, I don't know if I agree that they have to trade up or anything like that. There's plenty of guys in this class that they can just sit around and wait. I think Brian Thomas would be a great fit. I think it would be fantastic for fantasy. I think it makes him kind of a value as that, you know, wide receiver three, wide receiver four coming off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Underdog drafts right now are very wide receiver heavy, by the way, as a small side, because he's still got that six round price, but it's the, you know, almost the wide receiver 40. So yeah, I like Buffalo. I kind of dig Jacksonville even would be a little bit interesting. I know they just got Gabe Davis, but they also, I mean, Calvin Ridley had what, like 150, 160 targets last season. So they still have a little bit more fruit on the vine to get away, but that's what I had. Yeah, I like Buffalo a ton, and especially if he slides all the way back and the Bills don't have to move up.
Yeah, I think
that would be a great pick for
it. Would
the
be
team
nice for team. Yeah, it would be nice for the Bills, I feel like, to get a win here. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but I just feel like they've been kind of, I don't know,
an easy team to root for.
Yeah, I mean, they are. And Josh Allen, I love Josh Allen. He's very easy to root for. And it's strange because I am a Miami Dolphin fan from birth. And it's very weird to root for the Bills, but I can't help it. Like, I don't know. I like the coaching staff. I like Allen.
Yeah.
All right, so bring us to our next guy, Adonai Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
He is wide receiver 45 at pick 804. He's an interesting one. I got to watch him, you know, as you know, and people that listen to the podcast, my only real, I watch a lot of Georgia football. So he was, he was at Georgia before he transfer portaled out. And so I did watch him and I enjoyed, you know, him, and he was super fast at the combine. That was a whole thing. So, I have the Chiefs here. I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know, but they do need a fast downfield guy. I feel like he fits the bill there with what they need. Do you have another spot or something else that you like for him?
I mean, I like the Chiefs. I'm glad we went this long without saying we'd like to see these wide receivers in Kansas City, because it's like the easiest, like, you know, I want all these guys to be in Kansas City, honestly.
Right. But he, as far as draft spot and situation, he would fall there without them having to make a trade for him.
I like that. I like if he falls out of the first round, I think it would be interesting if he went to Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think he could be the wide receiver one right away there. Kansas City makes a ton of sense. I actually have Kansas City for our next guy we're going to talk about. His teammate.
It's funny because I have the Panthers for the next guy. That
we're do you really? That's amazing.
So might as well talk about that. Him. Xavier Worthy. He's right behind at wide receiver 47 at pick 811. So he's just, you know, a handful of picks after Mitchell right now on underdog drafts. So yeah, I had the Panthers, you know, same thing. They need a speed and explosive guy. So I think, like you said, either one of these guys are kind of interchangeable. Why do you see Worthy with the Chiefs? Same deal. I mean, I assume.
I think Worthy kind of, but I also think Worthy can be a part of the offense right away, even if he has trouble getting up to speed, which is a weird thing to say about the fastest 40 runner ever. Right. But I think he could be used early on in the season, kind of the way that the Ravens used Zay Flowers last year early in the season, just like gadget him up, get him a ton of screen passes. The Chiefs have been very regularly in the top five, if not first overall, and screen pass attempts and yardage gained from screens over the last, I think it's been 5 or 6 years. So I think if Worthy doesn't seem to have a full route tree in week one, they can really pepper him with behind the line of scrimmage stuff. And, you know, he runs a 4.21 40. Yeah. So I feel like he can do a lot with some screen passes in the NFL. But that was mostly where I was coming from, is if he takes a minute to get up to speed, he can still be used right off the bat. We don't have to wait for that post-buy rookie bump that so many people need.
Have you run a 40 in your adult life?
No, I have been meaning to race a specific friend in a 40 because we're both not very much in shape. I think I could maybe, with some training, break 5 seconds.
I put myself maybe at like 7. I don't know. It's been a long time. That was my issue. I played soccer for all the way through, even into college. I was just not fast enough. Like, I had amazing left foot. I'm a lefty, great left foot. I was left wing. I was not fast enough. And so now at my age, I can't even imagine. I mean, I was slowish then. So I don't know, maybe I'd break 7 and that might be generous. I have no idea, but I was just curious if
maybe I could do a 5.5. We'll see. Maybe I'll do that later. Yeah,
you can stay with your original prediction. That's okay. We're not going to do it. So no one will ever know.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe we will. Maybe that'll be a 4 for 4 thing one day.
4 for 4 40. So, that's a brilliant idea.
Drink
four
a 40?
40. Oh, no, 4 for 4 40.
And drink a 40?
And drink a 40, yeah.
I assume they still make 40s? I don't know.
They still have 40s. I see them from time to time, and it reminds me of a less stressful time of my life.
Exactly. excuse me. All right, so the next guy that we're going to talk about, Justin and I have been obsessed with him for what? 3 years now.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Yes.
We have been texting about Ladd McConkey for years, and it's hilarious to me now. It's crazy to, like, I feel like he's like my child and I'm watching the rest of the football world. I'm sure I can't imagine how his actual parents feel. Cause that's how I feel. Like when people are discovering him and I'm like, so yeah, Justin and I have literally been texting about Ladd McConkey for years. It started out because just his name, like Justin thought it was funny, you know, back
it's
in the day. Well, he does some work for PFF for college football. And he, I guess, was covering a game years ago and thought his name was hilarious. And no, I was a Georgia fan. And we just started, you know, so every time he scores a touchdown, we text, we talk about it. So now his moment is here. He is coming to the NFL. And the world is discovering him, which is amazing. Everyone kind of laughed him off at first. Like, who is this white guy? And now all of a sudden he's potentially a first round draft pick, which is insane. Yeah. He's good. He's very good. It's not that, you know, he's very smooth with his route running. He's very, very good. Unfortunately, a lot of people have been linking him to the Patriots, which would be absolutely brutal for fantasy and for real life for me. I can't root for the Patriots in any capacity. So that would be brutal. What I like, because I'm just not going to acknowledge the Patriots and rumor and that. I kind of like the Falcons, right? He stays in Georgia. He's wide receiver two behind Drake London. I mean, they do have Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, whatever. But I like Ladd McConkey there, so I'm going Falcons. I
Okay.
I think that would be a nice fit for him, and one that I don't think people are really thinking about the Falcons getting another wide receiver, but they have Kirk Cousins. Why not? He can support another guy. Right. So that's my dream pick right now would be Atlanta. What do you have?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, he's wide receiver 55. He is a 10th rounder, 1006.
That's not bad.
No.
You know, my dreams were kind of crushed because I would have loved for this because of this, you know, our Ladd McConkey connection.
Right.
I really would have enjoyed him going to the Bengals in the second round, but at this point, he's like a top 30 or top 35 pick.
Yeah.
The Bengals don't pick again after 18 until 49. So I don't think he'll be around. I think that would have been an interesting Tyler Boyd replacement and possibly even a future T. Higgins replacement. Yeah. Not the same body type, but they could figure out how to make Ladd McConkey work as a number two. I like the Falcons. The only other two I had were if those teams that we projected for a wide receiver earlier don't take one. So like if the Cardinals pass on Marvin Harrison for some reason, or I think he could make sense even with the Chargers, if they go offensive line early on in the first round, they might be able to take him. When do they pick again? They picked 37th overall. So Ladd McConkey's kind of in that range.
Yeah.
The Falcons do make sense. Yeah. They don't really, who is their number two right now?
I think it's Mooney.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He could
elbow Mooney.
You know, it's interesting. I think your dreams could have come true with the Bengals, but the pesky combine, like he crushed it.
I know. Yeah.
People realized who he was. And then they're like, oh, who is this dude? He could have just kind of slid by with the generic white guy, you know, receiver and possibly slid into the second round, but unfortunately people realize that he's really good. So but you never know. That's the crazy thing. Like until it happens, he may slide. You never know, or he may go earlier. But I do hope that he does not go to the Patriots. I think that's a cruel fate
if that
it's a fantasy killer, at least in the short term, until they figure out their quarterback situation. So that would be a bummer. The last three guys, I feel like it's tough to kind of make a prediction because it's kind of one of those things where we're talking about the same five teams over and over. But we got Troy Franklin at wide receiver 58, Keon Coleman at wide receiver 62, and Xavier Leggett at wide receiver 68. I feel like any combination of the Jaguars, maybe the Bengals, maybe Dallas. I mean, I kind of have all three for those. Is there any of those three that kind of stand out as anything you want to mention?
Not necessarily. I think as we're going through this exercise, we're seeing that like a couple of these guys are going to slip a lot far. Like, you know, not all these guys can possibly be first round wide receivers when there's four or five or six quarterbacks going off. There's like 9, 10, 11 offensive linemen projected for the first round. Right. So, you know, just like we've been saying, like if the Bills don't take one of these other guys, it'd be cool if they took one of these guys, the Chiefs. Yep. I think the Cowboys probably make the most sense as one of these guys. Maybe Troy Franklin would be a good fit with the Cowboys. He's kind of more of a slight build, so they can maybe work him out of the slot and as a perimeter across from CeeDee Lamb. And then the other guys, it's like, you know, hopefully they just get good draft capital. And then that means we know that the team that selected them are going to enjoy them.
That's pretty much
where I'm at.
Right. And these guys that we're talking about now are kind of best ball, you know, later guys. These are not redraft guys. These are possible waiver wire fodder where, you know, they end up in a good spot and somebody gets hurt or whatever. And they're a waiver wire darling in week four or whatever. But for redraft purposes, we're probably not drafting any of the latter receivers.
Right.
Shall we move on to the running back?
Let's do it.
So this running back class, not great, right? Compared to ones in other years. I mean, there's guys, and there will be fantasy relevant guys because rookie running backs always do come on later in the season and end up being kind of fantasy heroes that we did not expect, or maybe we did expect. But this, you know, this year there is no Bijan Robinson, there is no Jahmyr Gibbs. It's just not happening. So we do have some guys though that we do need to talk about. First guy on my list here is Trey Benson. Right now, he is RB29 in underdog drafts. He is leaving boards. He's the only guy leaving in single digits at 904. So the interesting thing about Trey Benson, I personally, I have him, I have him in Dallas. I think Dallas has 428 running back opportunities available, the second most. A lot of people want Jonathan Brooks here. I think Benson makes more sense. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a big play guy. He can also take some swing passes out of the backfield. I don't know. I think people want Brooks there. I like Benson there. What do you say?
I really like either of these guys. I had Jonathan Brooks with the Cowboys, but I like Trey Benson there as well. I also really like Trey Benson in the NFC East. I would like him to go to New York. They're missing a lot there with Barkley moving on. I think he would have a pretty decent target share. And, you know, who they went and got Devin Singletary. That doesn't bother me. Either of these guys could overcome Devin Singletary easily. I don't know about any of these guys.
Right.
It kind of goes downhill pretty quick. But yeah, the Cowboys make a ton of sense for either of these guys, I think. And I like the Giants as well. Tampa Bay, I would like really either of these guys, maybe more Trey Benson. Because I think his skill set could kind of usurp Rashad White's more than maybe Jonathan Brooks could. Also, Brooks could be missing some time still from he tore that ACL in like November. So
yeah,
per him, he's going to be ready by July. But we'll see about that.
You know, Tampa Bay. That's interesting for me. I would like that because I keep ending up with Rashad White just because he's a good zero RB. Like I just keep ending up with him. And it would help me to not draft him this year because I just end up with him everywhere, and he's fine. But he's fine for what he is. He's inexpensive and people just, okay. So you mentioned Jonathan Brooks. He is RB 34. He's at 10:01. I actually have Jonathan Brooks in Arizona. I think it makes the most sense. Like you said, he's rehabbing from an ACL. He can come on late. You know, they have James Conner. He is the guy, but he's 29. He tends to get hurt. Not that injury prone is not a real thing. However, he tends to get hurt.
He's so had I bad like, luck. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like Jonathan Brooks is one of those guys that down the stretch could come on like fire. Like we see with sometimes with rookie running backs at the end of the season that he could be a game changer, league winner, whatever you want to say there. So I think he makes more sense in Arizona than Dallas because Dallas needs somebody from the jump. Like you said, Brooks says he's ready to go, but we don't know that. So I have him in Arizona. You already mentioned that you had him in Dallas. Is there anything else you want to say about Brooks?
Not necessarily. Okay. I like Benson more as my RB1 and dynasty and redraft, but most of that has to do with the fact that Brooks might miss some time in year one, and we'll see how long it takes him to get back to full steam.
Right. You did mention dynasty. I will say our friends at Dynasty League Football, they are ramping up for the season here. So those of you that are not subscribers of Dynasty League Football, should be. So I just figured I'd throw that out there since you mentioned it.
It's a great resource.
Yeah. They have, tools, rankings, all the stuff. And so I know rookie drafts are coming up and all of that. So head on over there and check that out. Become a subscriber if you are not. The next guy that I have here on our list is Blake Corum. He is RB 40. He is all the way down at 11:10. That's a pretty decent jump from Brooks. The Chargers are the chalk here. I mean, everyone kind of sees you've got the, you know, the Michigan connection with Harbaugh. I almost said it's Jim, right? I got confused.
Look, I have to look it up every single time.
You know what's funny? In my head, I thought about that tweet that you tweeted like a couple weeks ago where you always forget which one's which.
Right.
So then then it confused me because I was laughing in my head about your tweet. But it is Jim, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that. And then
let's go with that.
Yell at us.
It's a guy in khaki pants with the last name Harbaugh. He is now the coach of the Chargers. And so Blake Corum is kind of the chalk there. But I think the Giants are also an option. You mentioned them above. Yeah. I think the Giants could be a good spot for him if it doesn't fall the way that everyone thinks it's going to fall. Are you on board with the Chargers or do you have another spot there for him?
It definitely makes sense for the Chargers and I would be on board there. Once again, I don't think Gus Edwards is keeping a lot of people off the field. He'll still get his touches and he'll probably be the goal line back, but I don't think Gus Edwards is going to keep a rookie off the field for too long. I kind of like the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Chubb is still rehabbing. We're not certain if he's going to be ready for week one. Kareem Hunt is presumably out of town. Did anyone ever sign him?
No, he's still a free agent.
So he's just sitting out there.
Yeah, they just have Jeremy Ford, I think, right?
Yeah, Jerome.
Sorry, Jerome.
And they have someone else, but I don't know. I think it would be interesting. It would be one of those situations where it's probably not going to be a ton of week one production, but he could end up going on to earn a larger role. And if Nick Chubb misses more time than we would like to see, then maybe he gets an even larger role.
I don't know how I came up with Jeremy Ford. I'm sorry, guys. It's early in the morning here where I am.
You only missed one letter.
You're right. It's not that far off. It's not like I threw out a completely random name. All right. So the next guy we have here is Jalen Wright. I mean, we've got four more guys. It's kind of like the end of the wide receiver list.
Right.
We got a bunch of spots. I mean, you got Jalen Wright is RB 42. He's at 1205. Marshawn Lloyd is 44 at 1305. Braylon Allen is RB 48 at 1404. And then you've got Audric Estime, RB 57 at 1605. I mean, I threw out a name for each one. I don't know if it really matters, right? I feel like at this point, there are teams, right? We could just discuss, there are teams that could possibly use a running back, right? We've mentioned the Giants. I think the Panthers could use someone opposite of, you know, Chuba Hubbard. You've got Braylon, I'm sorry. Then there's also Dallas, right? If they don't take one of these top guys, if they don't take Benson or Brooks, they may end up in the Braylon Allen, you know, Marshawn Lloyd kind of sweepstakes at that point. And then I also have the Browns and the Bengals too. I feel like they could possibly use. Do you have a specific fit for any of these last four guys?
Not necessarily. I would like to see Audric Estime go to a team that needs like a giant back.
Yeah.
So like someone who could fill in a goal line role. It would stink for Josh Allen's upside, but Buffalo would be interesting to just go there and be the goal line back. They didn't give they haven't given James Cook a ton of opportunities in that that realm. The Titans would be interesting. He could just be like the short yardage Derrick Henry, and it probably wouldn't affect Tajay Spears' upside too terribly much. But outside of that, it's just let's get these guys before the sixth round.
Right.
So that we know that a team actually cares about getting them the ball, and I think we'll be happy.
Yeah. I mean, I think with the amount of injuries we've seen in the running back realm over the last couple of years, getting some depth on all of these teams is important for them and for us too.
Right.
From a fantasy perspective, we need those, that depth at the bottom of our roster as well. So we'd like to see them at least find a decent home and not end up somewhere random where they're going to be buried on that depth chart. Interesting. Yeah, the Bills and the Titans are two things I didn't think about, but you're absolutely right.
Oh, Carolina, too. I don't think we mentioned Carolina.
I did, actually.
You did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I said we need someone behind Chuba Hubbard. No, I did.
Sorry. That's fine. Clicking around.
Yeah, it's all good. But yeah, so I did mention those. So I think we covered all the teams that we think are possibly in the running. Right. I mean, there is also the Chiefs. I mean, they kind of usually grab one. I mean, we're looking at Isaiah Pacheco. Jerick McKinnon is gone, correct? CEH is gone.
So I kind of dig, this is further down, and I have no idea where his ADP is, but I think Oregon's Bucky Irvin would be a good fit there, where he could kind of take over the old McKinnon role and be like a pass catcher, and then we'll see it. You know, he's not going to be usurping a ton of touches from Pacheco in short yardage or anything like that, but I think he could, you know, go out there and get 50 targets as a rookie. And that's interesting, at least.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad you brought him up because I meant to add him last night to the list and I got distracted and did not. So
look, we're going pretty deep as it is. I think it'll be all
right. No, we are, but I think Bucky Irving is worth a mention. So I'm glad you at least brought him up. All right, this brings us to our final fantasy relevant position in the draft. And that is the tight end. Not a very deep draft class this year. But the leader of the pack is our Lord Brock Almighty. Brock Bowers. I guess I should mention his full name in case listeners out there have somehow never heard of him. He's expensive. I mean, he's tight end 9 right now, an underdog at 706. So I feel like his spot, like tight end 9, is kind of pricey, but I mean, the 7th round is not I guess
that's not too bad.
Ridiculously expensive. It's not like back when Pitts was, and you know, and he was, I don't remember his ADP, his rookie year.
He was like the third round.
Yeah. He was extremely, the thing is like Brock Bowers is, he's really good. I mean, I've watched every snap of Brock Bowers in his collegiate career. He's not just a tight end. Like he is really, right. really good. He is kind of a, you know, a tight end wide receiver type guy. He doesn't just block. Like he is extremely athletic and he is extremely good. So I feel like his ADP, I feel like, is warranted. You and yeah. I talked about this a little bit yesterday off the record. I know he's linked to the Jets right now, which I'm not a fan of from a personal point of view and from a fantasy. I mean, we don't know. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers and the Jets situation is not it's a short term situation. I mean, the guy is right. is over 40 and I mean, he played 3 minutes last year. I'm sure that won't happen again this right. year, but you never know. I would like to see Brock Bowers, and it's not a Homer thing being here, but I would like to see him Denver. In Denver. I think yeah. Sean Payton would be really good for him. Sean Payton likes the right. Joker types, as I do my bunny ears again. You know, like I said, Bowers is a kind of a tight end wide receiver hybrid kind of guy. I think Sean Payton would work well with that. They don't have a lot of weapons here. I mean, there's Greg Dulcich, right. which he has fantastic hair, but he really hasn't done much. In the real or fantasy realm. So
right.
I would love to see Brock here. Do you have another, how do you feel about the Jets? And then how do you feel about anywhere else?
Yeah, I think if Rodgers is healthy and mostly back to normal, it's a good offensive environment, but they have, how am I possibly blanking? They have Garrett Wilson. They went and got Mike Williams. Breece Hall is a good pass catcher out of the running back room. So he could be like the third.
Tyler Conklin, was that the name you were?
No, I literally forgot Garrett Wilson's name.
Oh, okay.
somehow. It happens. I've not been paying attention to the Jets this offseason, clearly. Yeah, but then we look at Denver, and where you talked about how Cortland Sutton might not be around.
Yeah,
he could legitimately be the number one pass catcher on that team, which is not an option in New York at all. Right. And then if he slides past that, it gets a little dicey. We talked about the Colts needing a second guy. I think that's a pretty good matchup there. They also have
25 tight ends.
I know. Always, they take one every single year. It doesn't matter. They treat it like you can't just get it in free agency.
It's a nightmare for fantasy. It's just there.
And like, yeah. you know, a tiny bit of homerism because I clearly just want someone from Georgia to go to Cincinnati.
Of course.
That would be sweet. But 18, that's a drop. I don't think anyone's going to let Bowers drop that far. But if they did, that'd be sweet. But then he would still be that third pass catcher again. Yeah.
There's a lot of I saw a lot of chatter this morning. I think it was Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network was talking about like O-line has become all the rage and people are trying to trade up for O-line and all this stuff. So you never know. Like he may randomly fall. Weirder things have happened.
Right.
He may fall that far just because people might be, you know, I know O-line, there's a lot. And then I know like a cornerback. There's, you know, that top tier of corner is a, right. a top tier. And so there, right. you know, people that need corner, you know, teams that need corners may actually trade up specifically for those, guys, like Quinion Mitchell and Kool-Aid McKinstry, you know, the top corners, what's the other one? Cooper DeJean or yeah. Anyway, those guys, people may trade up for those guys and Brock could randomly fall. But I think, yeah, I think it's probably Jets, probably Broncos. You never know. There could be a random team that trades up for him. Stranger things right. have happened, but
true.
Either way, I think
Kansas City, maybe he goes to the Chiefs.
That would be horrible. I mean, it would be great for like long-term because obviously Travis Kelce is not going to play forever, but between him and Noah Gray, like they're set. They don't
right.
need a third body in there, especially one as talented as Bowers. That would be absolutely brutal. Right. But I will say this, like the narrative has to change now, right? After last season with Sam Laporta, like the whole rookie tight ends don't work. We can change that narrative now. So we can kind of at least draft Bowers with a little more confidence in not only best ball, but in redraft. I think he's in the conversation for redraft when in the past he wasn't. Like, so last year I can't remember who I drafted in my home league, which I know nobody cares about, but I'm going to talk about it for a second anyway, because I won the league. But I can't remember who I drafted. It might have been, you know, I think it might have even been Waller. I don't know. I drafted somebody, and then I drafted Laporta at like the very end, just because I was like, you know what, this guy's special. Like, he'll just be, you know, I'll just have him. And then of course he ended up being, you know, my tight end one. Yeah, the, and I won the league. Actually, I won the league. I ended up with him and Jared Goff and Amon Ross St. Brown. I had all three Lions. Yeah. And I won the league.
The closet I forgot, Lions homer.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm not even a fan, but I can't remember who my whoever my quarterback was got hurt, and I ended up with Goff. So and I rode him to the championship, which was fantastic. But yeah, so I guess my whole point is that Brock Bowers, I think, I don't know if people will draft him as a tight end one in redraft, but I think he's. You think so? Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I guess it depends on landing spot for most of these guys. Right. All right. You know, I could talk about Brock Bowers for a full hour, but we're going to move on. What'd you say?
I'm here for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know you are, but the listeners may not be. So there's only a couple others. And even the third one was a kind of a stretch, but from a fantasy perspective. But second guy is Jatavion Sanders. He's way down at tight end 29. He is at 18-12 as far as his underdog AP. Not a redraft candidate, but we love those, you know, those late round stabs at tight end.
Yeah.
In best ball. I think the Commanders are a good spot for him. Sanders is, he has the record for the most catches ever by a tight end. And of course, I didn't.
Something.
And yeah, in his school,
Texas.
No. Thank you. I was like, in my brain, I was like, I thought it was Texas, and I didn't write it down because I was like, you're not going to forget that.
I forgot Garrett Wilson's name.
So yes, he holds the record for a Longhorn most catches ever by a tight end. So he could be a sneaky guy for best ball. I don't think he's a redraft candidate, but the Commanders, I mean, they, you know, Logan Thomas is old, and I don't think he's there anymore anyway. So they have Cole Turner. You know, depending on their quarterback situation, as we discussed at the top of this podcast, I like the Commanders. Do you have a spot for him, or it's kind of a wherever he is, he's a best ball guy?
Miami would be pretty sweet. I guess that was like 2 years ago. They let Gesicki walk, who I can't even remember who's still there, but they could use a tight end.
Durham Smythe, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly who I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, I can pull out random names like that, but I can't remember. Yeah. Like, yeah, that just happens.
The Chargers would be interesting with Everett out of there. And that's about it. There's some guys that might pop up depending on landing spots, but no one that we should concern ourselves in April in best ball ADP, honestly.
Yeah,
maybe that's something we can think about in July.
No, I'm with you, but I think like for those of you that are kind of just stepping your feet back into best ball.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking for those late round flyers. I think Jatavion Sanders is one of those.
Oh, for sure.
The other guy.
Beyond this group that we're talking here, we don't.
Right. Really... Okay. Yeah. The third guy we have is Ben Sinnott. He is the epitome of a late round. He is tight end 33. He is at 20.04. I have the Chargers for him, but I mean, like you said, any of those spots that would need a tight end. He has zero redraft value as well, but I think he's a name that you can just throw into your portfolio in best ball because you never know. Wherever he lands, there could be a tight end ahead of him that gets hurt. So he's just a name there. Do you have any other tight end names that you would like to throw out there?
Not necessarily. Theo Johnson could be interesting. Mm-hmm. Jared Wiley could be marginally interesting. But at that point, we're talking like round five tight end rookies. Like we don't have to go that deep. Unless if you're out there in like 28 round best ball leagues, tight end premium, like more power to you. But
listen, there's all kinds of leagues out there that people do. That's the beauty of fantasy football. Well, that wraps up what we have going on. I did want to say one thing. I was like, oh, if we run short, there's kind of the oddities and whatever, but, I will say this, so for tomorrow night's draft, we're recording this on Wednesday. So clearly for Thursday night's draft, so the record may be broken for offensive players taken in the first round. So the record right now is 19 offensive players taken in 2009. There could be 20, maybe even 21, between quarterback, wide receiver, tackles, centers, whatever's out there. There will be no running backs in the first round, but the other offensive positions. Oh, and Brock, of course, should be a first rounder as well. But yeah, so that's something to kind of look out for. Should be interesting. The record was set in 2009. So it's been a while since this many offensive players were kind of huddled up at the top of the draft in round one that are going to get that, that round one money. Good for all of them. I love the
There's never been four quarterbacks taken in a row.
Oh, okay. So there you go. There's another thing. Yeah, that's a very distinct possibility. If they go Williams, May, Daniels, or Daniels, May, and then if someone trades up for McCarthy, he may end up there in that fourth spot. So that would be interesting as well. You know, everybody out there, just enjoy the draft. I know that a lot of us have kind of overload and draft fatigue at this point, especially people in the industry. But it's such a cool event. I mean, I remember as a kid being just riveted and like crying with all these guys as they get, I know I'm a weirdo and I will cry probably tomorrow night when I watch. It's just cool to see these guys that have worked their whole
dreams
life.
Are fulfilled.
Yeah. And now I mean, my nephew is, he's a freshman at Pitt. He is on their D line. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He just had his first little press conference. It was absolutely adorable. He's 18, but he is, he's a defensive end for Pitt. And, you know, of course he has NFL aspirations as well. It's just cool to see these guys and their families and everything that they've put into this. It's, you know, it's interesting in this industry, we're always like, oh, this guy's not good at football. And it's such a ridiculous statement. I mean, it's so hard to make it to the NFL. It's so hard to even be in 100%. The draft conversation for these guys. So I think it's really cool. One thing I wanted to say before we go, those of you out there that are betting on the draft, there's a ton, of course, of props and bets and all kinds of stuff at 444 right now. If you use code VR, just the letters VR, you get $40 off a betting sub at 444. That's good for the entire year. And you get all the 444 stuff that comes with it. All the rankings, the tools, the articles, everything. Right now, code VR gets you $40 off a betting sub. Be sure to follow myself. I am Jen Akins, NFL. Justin is Justin_Redwards. Justin, you got any parting thoughts before we leave?
No, I don't think so. I've never been more excited for a draft, honestly. And I think it's because I've put more time looking into these rookies than any other year. And I'm just ready to have some fun. You know, I mean, we might set a new record for trades in the first round. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it should be fun. So everyone get your favorite beverage or snack and cozy up. And it should be a wild ride. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you, I guess, soon. I don't know. We don't have an exact schedule right now in the off season for TMAP, but we shall be back soon. You guys have a wonderful Wednesday and enjoy the draft.